Open Ephesians 3, if you want to turn there with me for my text, Ephesians chapter 3. I've got to leave right after I preach. I don't want to do that, but I can't stay awake to get back home if I don't. As I've gotten older, I can't do a lot of things I used to do. I hate to leave because one of my favorite preachers is preaching after I do, Brother Todd. And I not only enjoy Todd's preaching, I enjoy him and Lynn very much. I have so many discussions, and I tell people all the time, if they want advice, if you want the truth, don't call Todd. If you don't want the truth, don't call Todd. That's what I mean. If you don't want the truth, there was a fellow in his congregation called me one time and said, I need to make a decision. I want to know what you thought about it. I said, well, what did Todd say? He said, I haven't asked him yet. He said, when he tells me, I've got to do it. When we used to have our conferences up home, Todd and Don and Bill used to preach our conferences, and they'd come up early, Donnie and Todd would, and we'd sit around and talk about what they were going to preach. And one time, Todd was going to preach on Acts 10, the conversion of Cornelius. And me and Donnie just couldn't agree with him for nothing. We just said, well, I can't see it that way. And we went with expectations, me and Donnie did, to see what Todd was going to say about that. And he preached on Acts chapter 10, the conversion of Cornelius. And we got back home in the living room and sat down, and Todd looked at me and Donnie and said, well, did I convince you fellas? And I don't know about Donnie, but I had to reevaluate what I thought about the conversion. But one time, me and him were down at Donnie Bell's, and he was going to preach that day, and I was going to preach the next morning. He asked me what I was preaching on, and I said, well, I'm going to preach on infants. What happens to infants when they die? And he said, man, I wouldn't preach that for nothing. Remember that? Wouldn't preach that for nothing. And he gave me two or three reasons why. I said, well, I'm going to give it a stab. And Todd went back home and got the message later, and he called me and said, man, that was good. I'm glad you preached that. So I've enjoyed Todd Nybert very much. Very much. Enjoyed Don Fortner. I often think about what Bill Carver said about you that time.
You can tell it.
Bill Carver was praying one time and said, Lord, help us to love one another. Lord, help me to love Don Fortner. You know, he said, Lord, you know it's hard to love Don sometimes. I found that to be so. All right. You laugh. In Ephesians chapter 3, I want to read, beginning in verse 13. This is Paul's prayer for this church. I'm sure it would be his prayer for us if he were here. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 13. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. My subject tonight is found here in verse 19, the love of Christ. Paul mentions two distinguishing characteristics here of a child of God. All the children of God have these two things that sets them apart from the lost world. He mentions one here in verse 16. that he would strengthen you with might by his Spirit in the inner man. What's the difference between the lost man and the saved man? The lost man is but one man. He's flesh. Frank read it to us. When you were in the flesh, that's all a lost man is. He's just one man. Flesh. That's all he'll ever be if the Lord don't make him two men, give him a new man. But the Lord's children have this distinction. They've been made anew in the Lord Jesus Christ. A new creature in Christ. They're born of God. Born of the incorruptible seed. There's a man there, an inner man that never was before. He's incorruptible. Do I understand that? No, I don't understand that. But it's so, isn't it? After the inner man, strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And then the other distinction, the other characteristics of the children of God, they know the love of Christ. Every child of God knows the love of Christ. He may know little about it, but he knows the love of Christ. He's been taught that. The Spirit of God has shed abroad the love of God in his heart. Now, I know the world talks a lot today about Jesus loves me, Jesus loves you, and Jesus loves us all. And I would have to agree with John Gill, Jesus Christ has the capacity and did love his fellow man. God loves his creatures to some degree, in some sense, as their creator. He provides for them the sun coming up on them, sending rain. He does them good. I have a dear sick neighbor comes down to my house, and he said, the Lord is good to me. He probably don't believe that, but you know God's been good to everybody this side of hell. Is that not so? He has. But this love here that Paul speaks about in verse 19, the love of Christ, this is a particular love. This is a distinguishing love. This is the love of Jesus Christ for his own and only his people. Nobody else but his own elect people. To know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. Well, how can we know the love of Christ? To know the love of Christ. Well, first of all, I think we have to do this. We have to establish the doctrine of the love of Christ. We need a foundation for what we know, don't we? We got a foundation for our faith. We need a foundation for our knowledge. Where do we get what we get? I know this and I know that. Where did you get it? From the Bible. From the Word of God. So first of all, let's go to the Scriptures and establish what the love of Jesus Christ is. Before we know the love of Christ, we need to do that, don't we? As a doctrine of the Scriptures. Is it a doctrine of God's Word? Has the Holy Spirit revealed the love of Christ in the Scriptures? If He has, what is it? What's it like? Can we know it from the Word of God? Let's study on that just for a few minutes together. First of all, the love of Christ as the doctrine of the Scripture. We're told there is such a thing as the love of Christ in the Scriptures. And it has no beginning. The love of Christ for His people has no beginning. It was in the heart of Jesus Christ from all eternity. Now how do we know that? Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 3. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. He loves his own now, doesn't he? If you go back 1,000 years from now, that verse doesn't change. He loves his own then. But if you go back to when this verse was first written by the prophet, when the Holy Spirit spake it to him and he wrote it down and the ink was still wet, it's true then. He loves his own with an everlasting love. But what if you go back before the verse was penned down? Is it true then? It didn't make it so because he wrote it down. He wrote it down that we may know that it was so. If we go back before the foundation of the world, before time, before those stars shined in this universe, before there was a sun to light the day or the moon to light the night, before the sons of God sang together, before those holy cherubs ever opened their eyes to see the face of their Creator. Go back before then. Go back when the eternal triune God dwelt alone. He was full. He was free. He was happy. And you know something? Christ loved His people then. Spurgeon said, you go back to the foundation of the world and you get on the wings of faith and you soar back into eternity as far as you can. And when you've reached the beginning, if there is such a thing, you'll find this. Christ loved His people. I don't know if you could ever find a beginning back there. But if you did, Jesus Christ was before that. Jesus Christ is God. And He loved His people then. He has no beginning, so His love for His people have no beginning. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Now that's a doctrine of the Scriptures. That's a doctrine of the Scriptures. It has no rise, does it? It has no rise, no beginning to it, no beginning. The second doctrine of the love of Christ is this. It has no end. It's without end. No rise or no fall. In John chapter 13 and verse 1, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. The end of His ministry? Well, yes. The end of their lives? Yes. The end of the world? Yes. When the earth melts with fervent heat? When every man has been assigned their long home in eternity? If you could find the end of eternity that's to come, He loves them beyond that. I don't think He'll ever let eternity in because He loves His people for all eternity. Eternity dwells in Christ, doesn't it? If you could find the end of Him, you'll find the end of His love. But brothers and sisters, He has no beginning of days nor end of life. He's the eternal God. From everlasting to everlasting, He's God. And Christ is God. So His love has no beginning and it has no end. That's a doctrine of the Scripture. The love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's another doctrine of the Scripture concerning the love of Christ for His people. It's unconditional. The love of Jesus Christ is unconditional. You know there's no creature love that is unconditional. You don't love anybody unconditionally, do you? You see some mother sometime with her little infant in her lap and she says, oh, I love you unconditionally. Well, just wait a few years and you'll see about that. Huh? When she runs him out of the house and dares him to come back in. The Lord Jesus said, would a mother forsake her suckling child? She may. Oh, Lord, not only she may, they do. Haven't they forsaken them in our day? See, here's the difference in our love and His. Our love is human love. It has to have an object to attract it. And as long as that object is attractive to my heart, I'll love it. But let the object become unattractive, and I'll cease to love it. Even the angels, the elect angels, they love because when they opened their eyes and looked on the face of their Creator, they loved Him because He's my Creator. He's glorious in holiness. But even they can't love unconditionally. But Christ's love is uncaused. Listen to what He said in Hosea 14:4. I will heal their backslidings. I will love them freely. Amen. He never loves anybody because of what He sees in that person. That word freely, it means without obligation. Without constraint. Without obstruction. Without reserve. Without hindrance. The cause of Christ's love is found solely in Himself. Now isn't that wonderful? It's wonderful when you get a good look at yourself, ain't it? And as you see more of the depths of what's in you, aren't you glad that His love, the sole cause of it, is found in Himself? He loves because He loves. And that's as far back and as deep as you can go. Fourthly, there's a doctrine in the Scriptures of the love of Christ, and I think this naturally follows, that knows no change. It knows no change. If it's unconditional, then it will know no change. I change not, because I'm the Lord. And what follows? Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Christ loved His people before they had a being. He loved them when they had their being in Adam, upright and holy and good. He loved them when they fell in Adam. It never changed. When they fell out of love with Him. When they became enemies of God in their mind by wicked works. When they took up with God's enemy, Satan. When they lay dead in their trespasses and sin. Did His love change for them then? It knows no change. Even when you were dead in sins, for His great love wherewith He loved us. Even when we was dead in sins, His love for His people never changed then. It cannot change, brothers and sisters. It knows no change. Oh, the love of Christ. The love of the Lord Jesus Christ. The love of Christ for His own don't change when they struggle with their sin. When they're full of doubts and fears about it all, His love for them never changes. He may change the way He deals with them. He may lay His rod on their back. He may chasten them sore. He may hide His face. But I tell you this, His love for them will never change. It cannot know any change. Doesn't that bless you in your deep trials? I tell you, you'll notice this sometime. When the Father's chastening hand is heavy upon you, and it's been heavy for a while, and it's created some doubts, and you go to Him in prayer and you refuse to call Him Father, you'll notice the check upon your conscience. He's your Father, even though when He lays you low and hides His face, and He'll have you to address Him as Father, because He don't change. God in Christ never changes towards His people. The love of Christ which passeth knowledge. There's a doctrine in the Scripture, the love of Christ is without limit. It's without limits. Paul mentions something about that here, doesn't he? To fathom the what? The depths, the heights, the width, and the length. The depths of Christ's love. How could we possibly fathom the depths of the love of Christ? To fathom the depths of the love of Christ, we'd have to know how high He was before He came to this earth. If we want to know how far He stooped, look how high He was before He came. The Bible says not only that He was in heaven, but that He was above the heavens. He had to humble Himself to behold the things that's in heaven. How low then did He stoop to be conceived in the womb of a sinful woman? How low did He stoop, brothers and sisters, to take our flesh to Himself with all of its natural infirmities. Leave His riches in heaven and become poor for your sake. Have no place to lay His head. Not only that, but to have His enemies persecuted. To become a man of sorrows. And have His friends to deny Him and forsake Him. Oh, but I tell you that. This is nothing to the stoop He was getting ready to make. What about on Calvary's tree? You and I want to know the stoop. You want to know the depths of Christ's love? Then look at the cross. When our sins met upon Him with the awful judgment of God. when he said, I sink in deep mire where there's no standing. All thy waves and thy billows have gone over me. And there he was at the bottom, a depth that neither you nor I nor angels could conceive. And there he stayed in that depth till every sin was punished to the full extent of the law, and justice itself swore that it was satisfied and would never smite again the Lord's people. And it was only then that he came up out of those depths. Oh, the depths of the love of Christ. It's a stooping love, isn't it? It's a stooping love. But consider the heights. What about the heights of his love? Who can comprehend the heights of the love of Jesus Christ? Remember Pharaoh's butler? He got back up into the palace and he forgot Joseph, didn't he? He forgot Joseph. But Christ is back in his palace. I mean, he's exalted high. We've heard about it these past two or three days, haven't we? How high is he? He's exalted above all principalities and powers. Above all might and all thrones and every name. Everything and everybody is subject to him. My son sit at my right hand and rule over everything and rule over everybody until I make your enemies your footstool. This is the Lord of glory, exalted high, and yet on his sovereign throne, he loves his people. Boy, it's good to be loved. I love to come at a meeting like this and you see old friends and they'll hug your neck and they'll say, oh, Bruce, I love you. I miss seeing you. I'm amazed by that. I'm amazed I've got such friends that I've got. But you're my equal. Can you imagine what it is to be loved of the Lord of glory? The King of kings upon the throne. There's no kings here that we knew. And if we knew them, we couldn't approach them to them. But here is the Son of God, exalted above all. And he loves his people. Can you imagine it? And yet that's what the Word of God tells us. Oh, the love of Christ that passeth knowledge. And what about the length of the depth? Can we comprehend the depth, the width and the length of His love? The Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. Can you remember the first time you consciously sinned? I can't. I unconsciously sinned as soon as I got out of my mother's womb, speaking lies. Cried and cried and cried till my mother picked me up. Then I'd quit. Was I hurting? Was I dying? No. But I wanted her to think that. At least that's what she told me. But I wasn't conscious of that. I'm not conscious of the first sin I've ever committed. That's how far back my sin goes in my life. And I am certain of this, and I say this with shame, that I'll never quit sinning until I've lost my breath. I tell you, that's a long time, ain't it? There's a length to our sins, brothers and sisters, that's long. One of the glorious things about dying is you'll never sin again. That'll be glory for me, won't it, you? But as long as I'm in this world, evil is present with me, and I'm saying, oh, wretched man that I am. The length of my sin went from the mother's womb to my grave. And what about its breadth? I tell you, it's just spreading, isn't it? Just spreading. The longer you live and the more you have your heart open, the more you see sin is just spread all through you. From the crown of your head to your feet to your arms. Came into this world through one man and look how it spread. But I tell you, there's a love that will cover the length and the breadth of your sin. When I passed by you, your time was the time of love, my love. And I spread my skirt over you and I covered your nakedness. All of it, all of it, all of it. A spread in long sin, life of sin. Oh, but love covers it, does it not? That's the doctrine, brothers and sisters, of the Scripture. And sixthly is this, to think about this. There is a doctrine in the Scriptures of Christ's love that is a giving love. A giving love, a generous love. He gave himself to God, a sacrifice and an offering for our sins. A giving love. I had to go to my wife before I came down here and beg a few dollars. I stay broke all the time. And what she tells me is, I can't give you much, you just give it away. Well, it's easy to be generous when you don't have anything, ain't it? But I tell you, he's wealthy. Have you ever known anybody more wealthy than Jesus Christ the Lord? And more willing to give it than he is? Everything you have, he's given it to you. Isn't that right? He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everything. You don't have a thing worth having. You don't have anything spiritually but what he's given it to you. What do you have but what you've received at his hand? And even though he's give and give and give and give and give, he's not diminished at all. We was down at the ocean a month or so ago. I thought about getting me a little teaspoon and going under and standing on the ocean, let people see me. What are you doing? I'm going to dip this thing dry. Wouldn't that, they'd have probably arrested me or stood and laughed at me this morning. I tell you what, look what Christ has given. Will he ever run dry? Of grace and mercy and love, all of his benefits? No. And he gives so freely. Freely. I'll give you the water of life freely. Freely. I'll just keep on giving it. Keep on giving it. That's the doctrine. I know that may be not all of it. Of course it's not all of it. But that gives you a little hint about the doctrine of Christ's love. And that'll keep you thinking for a while, won't it? How can we know this love? Because we have to know it experimentally. Experientially. We have to know it in this inner man, in our hearts. It's not just enough to have it written in the Bible. Thank God it's there, or we wouldn't know anything about it for sure. But now, dear children of God, how do we know the love of Christ experientially in our heart? I want to give you three quick things. And I'm almost embarrassed to even tackle this. I just sank in my soul to try to tackle a subject like this. But three little things. Three ways that we can know the love of Christ. The first one is this. We can know it this way. By his drawing us to himself. We can know it by his drawing us to himself. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. When Christ draws you to himself, you know his love. That's the way you know he loves you. Because he's drawn you to himself. I spent my whole teenage years, my wife will bear witness to this because she known me almost all my life. I stayed under conviction all the time. But it was a legal conviction. Just an old legal conviction. I was miserable under bondage. I needed to do better. I needed to get my act together. I needed to quit doing so many things that I was doing. I needed to start doing things that I wasn't doing. But I didn't need Christ. I wasn't conscious of my need of the Lord Jesus Christ. Until finally he made me conscious of my need of him. That all my willing and all my running would not save me. And he showed me, I'm going to have to save you. You can't save yourself and nobody else can save you. I'm going to have to save you myself by my merit, by my power. And he brought me to himself. That's the way I came to him, with the need of him. When the Apostle Paul told that Philippian jailer, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. What was he doing? Why did he tell him that? He pointed himself to Christ. He pointed that poor, trembling, despairing soul to Christ. Christ is the one that can meet your need. Christ is the only one that can save you. And what did that man do? He went to Christ. He believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, that man knew the love of Christ. That's why the scripture says he rejoiced believing in God with all his heart. When we come to Christ, to God by him, with a heart knowledge that we're lost and that we can't be saved, we can't save ourselves, but he must save us. And when we're drawn to him that way and find ourselves accepted in him, complete in him, then you know what we have? We have the knowledge of his love. Every saint of God, this is where the knowledge of the knowledge of Christ's love begins. You didn't know it until he saved you, did you? You may have talked about it, may have quoted some scripture. But when he drawn you to himself, that's how you know it. But listen to this. This drawing doesn't stop. It doesn't quit upon the initial drawing us to himself. There are times and seasons when Christ draws us to himself. And if we're going to have a knowledge of him that deepens, we must be sensitive to that drawing. I love this passage in Songs of Solomon. My beloved spake unto me. He said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Rise up, my love. He spake to me. And he said, rise up and come away. There's some of you here, bless your hearts, you don't have the time. We preachers think everybody's got the time that we've got, don't we? Everybody should study their Bible and these good books like we do. But you don't have the time. Some of you men own businesses. Some of you work long hours. Some of you mothers, you're tired of the night. You go to bed and you're worn out, aren't you? But listen, be sensitive of the voice of Christ, because he draws the inner man. He speaks to the inner man. Sometimes at night, you notice this in yourself. Sometimes at night when you get up for some reason or another, go to the bathroom or check on something, you'll find this impulse. It may be the slightest impulse to seek his face, to pray. But you say, oh, I'm so tired. I've just worked hard all day. I'm so tired. Listen, don't resist that impulse. Seek him. Seek him in the night season. He does a lot of night work. Listen to Songs of Solomon. Listen to this. I sleep, but my heart awakes. My inner man is awakened. Who awoken it? Why, it's the voice of my beloved. What's he doing? He's knocking. And he's saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew and my hair with the drops of the night. Boy, is it night, wasn't it? And he spoke to his love. Be sensitive to that, brothers and sisters. The Lord does a lot of night work. Most love making is done of a night, ain't it? Huh? That's when he makes love to his spouse a lot, at night. I don't mean to be vulgar, but is that not so? Paul and Silas had worked all day in preaching. That evening they were beat. Then they were thrown into the inner cell. But at midnight, their beloved came to them and says, open up, my love, my dove. I've come to make love to your inner man. And what did they do? They sang. And they praised God at midnight. But I tell you, the church didn't do that, did she? Oh, in the Old Testament, she didn't do that. And she missed such a great blessing. Here's what she said. She said, oh, my lover, I'm so tired. I've put off my coat. How can I put it on again? I've washed my feet and I'm in bed and I'm tired.
Oh, what a blessing she missed. You want to know the love of Christ? Be sensitive in your soul to His voice. Seek Him. These impulses that you have to pray and seek His face, be sensitive to that. I wonder who knew more about the love of Christ, Martha or Mary? They were both loved of Christ, were they not? I wonder who knew most about the love of Christ. I bet you the one that chose that good part. I bet you the one that sat at His feet and heard His word. I don't just want to sit at His feet. You know what we ought to do. You want to know the love of Christ? The Apostle John spoke so much about love, didn't he? I wonder how he found out about all of that. He lay on the Master's breast. He heard His heartbeat. You want to know more about the love of Christ? Lay on His breast. The church in the Old Testament, they went just a little bit higher than that. Let Him kiss me with the kisses of His mouth, for His love is better than wine. I remember hearing Brother Don, never heard this preached on before, never heard it even brought out like this. All my Christian life, I heard this Christ standing at the door knocking, you know. And that applied to lost people. I stand at the door and knock. That's the same thing He told His spouse in the Old Testament, wasn't it? It's the voice of my beloved. And He's knocking. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, what happens? I'll come in to Him and sup with Him, and He'll sup with me. Oh, brothers and sisters, I'm just saying this, dear children of God, if you would know the love of Christ, be sensitive to that voice, to the voice of your lover, and seek Him, even though it's night and even though you're tired. Seek Him. That's where you'll find more and more and more of the love of Christ. Secondly is this. Sometimes we know more of Christ's love in great troubles, do we not? I tell you, I've never prayed for troubles and I'll never will pray for troubles. But I don't despise them like I used to. Because I found out in my deepest sorrow, in my deepest affliction, I have learned more about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. I stopped the other day and visited Donnie and Mary Bell and spent a couple of days with them. It just broke my heart to see what they were going through. Deep, deep afflictions. But you know something? I just about bet that out of those deep afflictions, they're going to know more of Christ's love than they do now. Hezekiah was dying and the Lord delivered him from it. And he said, "You have in love to my soul delivered me from the pit of corruption." Some of you know what deep trials are. And when the Lord delivers you from them, don't you know more now of the love of Christ to your soul? Thirdly is this. We can know the love of Christ experientially as we walk with Him in the way of obedience. Let me read that to you because I'm closing. Look in John chapter 14. We know the love of Christ, know it experientially, as we walk with Him in the way of obedience to His command. Look in John chapter 14 and look in verse 21. He that hath my commandments. Now there's law commandments and there's grace commandments. There's law commandments. Boy, that will grieve the old man to death. But there's grace commandments. Here's my commandments. Here's God's commandments for His children. That you believe in Him whom He hath sent and love one another. I tell you, if we'll do that, we'll do well, won't we? He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, retaineth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. That is, my Father will make him to know that he loves him. The Father don't love him because he keeps his commandments. The Father's always loved him. But the Father will make him to know that he loves him. And I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. When? While he's walking in the way of obedience. I'm looking down in verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Our forefathers used to put two things together, obedience and assurance. They said these lack twin brothers, you can't separate them. A man may be saved, but if he's slothful and neglectful, I tell you what, he's apt to fall into some doubts and fears, maybe even about his salvation, maybe doubting the love of Christ. Where are we assured about his love? When we walk with him in obedience. There's a principle that the flesh is grieved to even think about. But the inner man loves it, and it prays to be able through grace to do it. Take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. But brothers and sisters, in that we learn more of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Clay spoke of the young lady that he baptized this morning. I tell you, I don't feel sorry for her a bit. I don't mean that in a bad way, but I rejoice in that. If I see somebody in the fire for the glory of Christ, I tell you, I just rejoice in it. Because she's going to come out of this with a deeper knowledge of the love of her Lord than I have. Because you let him find his people in the battle, in the heat of the battle. He'll show them that he's the captain of their salvation. But you can't find him except he's your commander in the heat of the battle. A good soldier enduring hardness for the glory of Christ. I never was in the military, but I was talking to one of you the other day that was telling me about being in Fallujah when they had destroyed that place. Such a devastation. I can't imagine what it would be to be in the heat of the battle and to have a good commanding officer to look to. And boy, you heard his voice and you had confidence in him. He'd tell you when to go forward. He'd tell you to go to the right, to the left, what to look for. And you was listening, you was watching him. You had confidence in him going to lead you through the battle. And boy, when you got through the battle, you'd go up to him and say, sir, I appreciate you. I got the deepest admiration for you. We'd have never got out of that mess if you hadn't been who you are. And buddy, right in the heat of the battle, when you're following Jesus Christ at all costs, when you've pushed in everything, I'm in it for the long haul. I'm in it lock, stock, and barrel. And you mean it, and God will bear witness to it. There's when Christ will uphold you. Whatever you face for His glory, there's where you're apt to see. You'll go to this verse and say, oh, the love of Christ. And you'll say, yes, yes, yes. I know it. I know it. He's my captain. He's my commander. I know it in my own heart now. I've read it, but now I've experienced it in my soul. Oh, to know the love of Christ. And it passeth knowledge. What's the greatest knowledge that we can come to in the love of Christ? That it passeth knowledge. Spurgeon said, some of these fellows that thinks they can see to the bottom of God's mysteries, he said their whole problem is they got such a shallow mind that they see the bottom of that. The love of Christ that passeth knowledge. And when we come to that knowledge, that I can't comprehend it. It's too great, the depths of half, it's just too tremendous, it's too glorious. Amazing love. And that's the greatest knowledge we can come to, that it passeth our knowledge. And I don't know hardly what this last phrase means, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God, but I know there are scriptures that says this, filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, wouldn't that be amazing? Filled with all the fullness of God. Filled with all goodness. Filled with all comfort. Filled with the knowledge of His will. Filled with spiritual understanding. Filled with wisdom. He hath filled the hungry with good things, filled with all the fullness of God. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Good job.